all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let's pray one more time. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, and we ask you to be with us this morning. We pray your divine presence, Lord, would bring comfort to each and every one of us. And Lord, especially the word which you have come down with a shout to bring. So, Lord, we know that we're at the tail end of the shout. And we're believing, Lord, that it'll move right into the voice of the resurrection. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would prepare us for that time. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night there will be no service. Amen. Now, this morning I would like to speak on a subject called the gullibility of them that are perishing. This will be number 207 in the unveiling of God. We're, this morning we're going to go back and review something Brother Branham said in paragraph 101. He said, but they don't see it yet today. God, in this last day, has rent those traditions away and brought the word of this age right plain in view, and they still don't know it. They just don't know it. It's so simple, see? It's just so simple. It's so far away from the things of the world. I preached the other day at a certain gathering of being a nut. One of these days I want to speak on that, being a nut. We're all nuts for somebody, so I'll be one for Christ. Paul said he was counted a fool. Sure, you have to be. See, it takes a nut to hold the things together. That's right. So notice the veil, the human veil. Now, the sin-loving people could not see that. Those traditional religious people, they couldn't see that because he was a man. And what? That human flesh hid God. Now, if he'd been a great pillar of fire that come down, see, the great pillar of fire that had come down and showed them that what he was, that he was this great pillar of fire, well, they might have believed that if Jehovah would have run around. But you see what he did so that he could bypass all of them smart, wise people. He just revealed himself like he promised Moses, see? I'll speak to them through a prophet. And he was a son of man, a prophet. And some of them recognized it, about maybe 100% of 100 in the world. They believed it. The rest of them didn't. But he was just the same. So what we're looking at is this. God hides in simplicity. And those who cannot see what God sees, they see nothing. It takes having the Holy Ghost to be able to see and to understand the things of God. That's what the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God ordained it for our glory, for our doxa, to change your opinion, our values and judgment. But he kept it hidden from the wise and prudent of this world. You know, the know-it-alls. Now, which none of the princes of this world knew. That word knew is gnosko. And he said none of the princes of this world had an experiential knowledge. For had they experientially knew him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the Lord of the doxa. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart the understanding of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, pay attention here. He is saying that no man has known the things of God, none whatsoever, but God has revealed them, he has unveiled them, he has apocalypsed them, he has manifested them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, and there's only one, the Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. So he says, for God's Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Are they having trouble with the transmission? Okay, just give me a moment, please. All right. Now, contrast that with what he says next. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. God. So the very purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost is to understand the things of God. Well, then if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how can you understand the things of God? Okay, so the Apostle Paul is telling us here that the very reason we receive the Spirit of God is in order that we might know and understand the things of God. That's it. So when Brother Branham says you can have the right doctrine and be wrong in your heart, he's not saying that having the right doctrine mentally is the same as having it by revelation. What he is saying is that you can be right in your doctrine yet wrong in your heart. Not wrong in your spirit, because the spirit and the heart are two different things. You see, the heart is the understanding. All right, you might be right in your doctrine, but wrong in your understanding. You see? Now, what he's saying is that you can be right in your doctrine, yet wrong in your heart. That only means you have a mental conception of the doctrine, and that's just mental until that revelation or that manifestation of divine truth appears in your own life and shows that you have an understanding. Instead of, if you have a mental understanding and it doesn't appear in your life by the fruits you know them, then you know that the person doesn't understand. They're wrong in their heart. They're wrong in their understanding. Now, I can show you where Brother Brown many times says the heart means to understand. Now, you can be right in your heart and still don't have the Holy Spirit. Brother Brown taught us that. He said in a sermon, what does it take to make a Christian life? Now, I want you to listen for a few moments before closing. I want you to notice one thing and watch closely now. Watch the order of the Scripture. He says, I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. Now, the heart is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and I will give you a new spirit. I want you to watch the order now. Many people get it mixed up. They think they got the Holy Ghost, but they just got a new spirit. Now, watch. What does it take to make a Christian? He says, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, and then I will put my spirit. Now, the new spirit God had to give you a new spirit, but that's a new spirit God gave to you so that you could get along with the Holy Ghost. With that old spirit you had, you couldn't get along with your neighbor. You couldn't get along with yourself. So you know you couldn't get along with God. So God gives you a new spirit, and many times under enthusiasm, and if you'll watch the life that it bears, and I hope I'm not hurting, but I hope I'm uncovering. See, a lot of times you think that you have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you said, well, I sung and I spoke in tongues. Certainly, being that close to it, you might do all of that. But that isn't the Holy Spirit yet. The Holy Spirit bears record of Jesus Christ. Now, he taken, and what did he do? He gives you a new heart, gives you a new spirit, and then he puts his spirit in you. It's just like, and you don't have to go around and pretend that you're a Christian, man. That new spirit brings new life. The Holy Spirit in your new spirit, in your new head, your new heart, your new spirit, and the Holy Spirit goes right in the center of your new spirit, and your new spirit goes right in the center of your new head. Now, when you think of the word head, you think of thoughts, you know. Okay, now, from impersonation of Christianity, he says, now, when you do that and don't bear the fruit of the Spirit, then you're in the new spirit. You didn't used to do that. That's right. But God had to give you a new spirit. Why? The spirit that you had couldn't even get along with yourself, so how are you going to get along with God? So God had to give you a new head, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellect. That's you that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then give you a new way of thinking. See, now notice, when he's referring to the heart, he's talking about a new way of thinking. So if you can be wrong in your heart, you're wrong in your thinking. All right? Yes, that's right. Notice the new heart is a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Then he said after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. Now, what's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Now, I know that I'm a Christian, and I'll smoke more, one more, and then throw it away. See, I'll just stay home tonight, you know, and I'll just, all these little just, that's exactly, Eve stopped just for a moment. That's all she had to do. But now, that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the Scripture. After you get a new heart, In other words, a new way of thinking and a new spirit. And it's a new desires that come out of that thinking. He said, I'll put my spirit, see? Oh, what? That's what the scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatics or numerical order of the scripture. A new head, a new spirit, and then my spirit. And I think that word head keeps coming up. I think there's a wrong translation. I think it should have been a new heart, a new spirit. All right. Anyway, then God's Holy Spirit, God's new heart that He puts in you, sets right in the center of you. That's your impulse where your emotion goes out. And the new spirit sets right in the center of the new heart. And God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sets right in the center of your new spirit, and there it controls your emotions. But to accept it, you have a new heart, a new spirit, and His Holy Spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions. And when He coos through His Word, you coo back and answer to Him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, from impersonation of Christianity, He says, yes, watch the order of the Scripture. I will take away the old stony heart, and I'll give you a new heart. That's the first order. Some of them stop on that first order, and you know, you're just getting started. Then He said, I'll give you a new spirit. There's where a lot of you Pentecostals fail. You had to have a new spirit, and oh, you felt good, and you felt like that, and oh, well, I feel fine. I couldn't have it. Well, you just got started. You're just getting fixed up now. You're just coming in line. He had to give you a new spirit. Why, you couldn't get along with your old, with yourself, with the old spirit. So how can you get along with God's Spirit? So He had to give you a new spirit. Now, in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 15, we read, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand, notice, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So we're dealing with the heart as a receptacle of the soul. And then the heart and its condition is very important because the influence it plays on the condition of the soul. You raise up a child in the way that they go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. Therefore, if you raise up that child in a condition of atmosphere of unbelief, it will have a very strong influence on whether they believe the Word of God or not. A child raised up in a very irreverent home will have a much harder time coming to grips with his need for salvation than one who was raised up in a home where love and respect for God is taught. And the fivefold ministry cannot give you a revelation, but they can prepare your mind to receive the revelation from God. And your parents can prepare the minds of your children to receive the Word of God as well. That is your duty before God as a steward of your own house. So when the new spirit comes in, that is the new desires. Now, from impersonation of Christianity, Brother Bram said, then he said, after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Now, I know that I'm a Christian, but now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, he said, then I'll put my spirit. That's what the scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatics, numerical order of the scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. So Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice he says, the spiritual man, the spirit-filled man, compares the spiritual things with spiritual things. He's not interested in the natural things. But then notice what Paul says of the natural man. That is the man without the Spirit of God in him. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He says he can't know them. Why? Well, he tells us why. Because they are spiritually discerned. And if you're not spirit-filled, you cannot spiritually discern. But he that is spiritual, he that is spirit-filled, for you cannot be spiritual without being spirit-filled, and the one that is spirit-filled judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. Now remember, in the beginning we read where Brother Branham said, God has made his revelation so simple that men cannot see it, nor can they understand it. And Paul tells us that the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. That is why he cannot understand the things of God. He has no interest in them. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, you'll see why Paul said what he said about the fact that you must have the Holy Ghost to understand the things of God in chapter 2. So let's go back to chapter 1 where Paul says in verse 7, "For Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish its foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, it didn't even know God. It pleased God then by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after salvation. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of man is wiser, foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Now, that brings us to Proverbs 1 and verse 29 to 32. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Now, this word that was used to describe these people here was as simple was translated from the Greek, from the Hebrew word pathai. And it means not only those who are simple, but actually they're foolish, and they're gullible, and able to be easily seduced and deceived. Now this morning, we're going to look at this end-time gullibility of them that are perishing, because a person that is gullible is easily deceived or duped. They're easily cheated or fooled, while one who is just naive is just lacking worldly experience and wisdom or judgment. In other words, they are not sophisticated. They're just simple, all right? Now, there's a difference between someone who's just simple and naive and a person who's gullible. The person who's gullible is easily duped, easily deceived. The other person is just, they might not catch on right away, but they will catch on. Now, we read in God's word translation, Proverbs 1:29-32, "Gullible people kill themselves because of their turning away." You know, I think about these people taking the vaccine, they're gullible. They're listening to the lies that are given by the government, and they take the vaccine, and it's going to destroy them. Now, fools destroy themselves because of their indifference. "But whosoever listens to me will live without worry and will be free from the dread of disaster." So God says, "Listen to me and hearken to my voice, and I will spare you what is coming on this world." The gullible will not listen, nor will they pay attention, but they open themselves up to listen to the things that they desire to hear, and will not hear me and listen to learn from me, says the Lord. In other words, God says, "I am the God that healeth all thy diseases." And they say, "Well, there's a vaccine that'll do the same thing." And they don't realize the vaccine is not even a vaccine. It's a medical procedure. From the expanded translation, it reads this way, "Fools," in other words, the gullible, the immature, "will die because they refuse to listen to turn away. They," the gullible, "will be destroyed because they do not care of complacency. They have become complacent. They go along with the hordes of unbelievers, and as sheep to the slaughter, they are not aware." The Message translation is quite brutal, but it says, "Because you hated knowledge and had nothing to do with the fear of God, because you wouldn't take my advice and brushed aside all my offers to train you, well, you've made your bed, now lie in it. You wanted your own way, now how do you like it? Don't you see what happens, you simpletons, you idiots?" You know, I get criticized for calling people idiots, but that's the translation here. "Carelessness kills. Complacency is murder. First, pay attention to me, and then you can relax. Now you can take it easy. Now you're in good hands. The NIV says it this way. Since they hated knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice, and they spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways, and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools, that will destroy them. And the voice translation. Because they despised knowledge of my ways, and they also refused to respect and honor the eternal, because they rejected my advice and turned down my correction, they will surely get what's coming to them. They'll be forced to eat the fruit of their wicked ways. They'll gorge themselves on the consequences of their choices. You see, it's turning away from me that brings death to the simple, and it's self-satisfaction that destroys the fools. Now, what's the difference between a fool or a gullible person? They don't study. They don't check things out for themselves. How many people, you know, will just gullible, or just believe anything they're told? People turn on their television sets. Brother Brown said, get them out of the house. If people didn't have television sets and they didn't listen to the godless radio, they wouldn't be thinking this, that there's a vaccine that's going to help them. They wouldn't even be thinking about it. It's not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's an EO, you know, it's an emergency use only. EUO. Emergency use only. It's not even approved by the FDA. It's not even approved. If you go to the FDA and the CDC, if you go to their website, it'll say right there, it's not approved. And people and children shouldn't be taking it. It says right there. And yet what does the government do? They don't listen to their own supposedly experts. And neither does the media. And the media are going to be held accountable. Now we know that the world is chasing after life. The same promise that you will not die if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Take this vaccine, you won't die. The same promise that Satan threw the beast in the garden made to the woman. Thou shalt not surely die. And it's the same lie that the beast system has given to the end time people. And they believe that lie over and over again. And as we pointed out to you in Unveiling of God 204, that the beast in the beginning hybrid the beast life with the woman and produced a hybrid human life. He injected a beast life into her. And that's what the people are getting today. They're getting mRNA. They're getting messenger RNA. And that is not the human DNA. It's their own DNA. It's a beast. I mean, it's a concoction. All right, it's a messenger RNA that attaches to your DNA and alters your DNA. Well, God said in Genesis 1:11 that every seed after his own kind. God put the right DNA in us, and so that's two of them. That's the Moderna and that's the AstraZeneca. But now, what about the Pfizer and what about the Johnson & Johnson? They're using fetal tissues, so they're using DNA from another human, and they're altering your DNA by putting that DNA into your body. They both produce the same thing. They both produce prions in the brain. And you just watch for a bunch of... We talked about end-time insanity. You watch in the next 4 to 6 months the amount of end-time insanity taking place. But it's not just the mRNA that's attacking the people. As I mentioned, it's the aborted babies and the monkey tissues and things. All four vaccines will attack the DNA and rewrite the code of the DNA, bringing in the beast nature and hybridizing the human race all over again. What the beast did in the beginning, the beast system is doing at the end time. And so we read the warning from the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that at the time of the parousia of Christ, when the great gathering unto Christ is taking place, he says, at that time, that you may not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, who's the only person that can let? And that's the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Brown tells us who that one is. Now, he that letteth until he be taken out of the way, in Daniel's sixfold purpose of Daniel. Brother Brown said, now, sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. He said, now look at today at the church. Here it is. I hope it don't hurt, but I got to tell you, Mick, in that day, there will be Antichrist rise. Now remember, when we get into the seals, that Antichrist rides right out over in those seals. Daniel spoke of it here. The prince that would come, he would be cut off, Jesus would, to make reconciliation for the people. But that prince that would stand up, that would cause the abomination to make desolation, that was Rome through Titus. And this time, it's a prince coming out of Rome also that'll do it. And he will be revealed in the last days. Now listen, making himself God, as the Holy Ghost warns us in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And then you'll have, not have my word for it, but God's word. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And we'll read at the 7th verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's the he? Who's the he here? Does anybody know? It's the Holy Ghost, he that letteth. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. When? Just at the time the Holy Ghost is being taken out, which is fixing to leave right now. What's he leaving for? He's taking the church with him. And then revealed. Paul, speaking under the inspiration, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And remember that word coming there is parousia. So this is to happen at the time of the parousia of Christ. There's a parousia of Christ and then there's a parousia of Satan. Both of them had to have a manifestation to know it's there. God through his prophet, Satan through his pope. All right. Now, the wicked one, of course, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, we are the greatest church. We have this. We have that. All you consolidate together. See, we are the greatest. It's lying wonders. And with all of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, what's unrighteousness? It's unrightwiseness. So, of all unrightwiseness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, do you get it? Oh, my. Now, Paul speaking, the time when the seal of God is being made known, his spirit, his name, his grace, all these other great mysteries that's going forth now, plans for his church to go in the rapture, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost has done this. That's what he done in the last days. Now, notice, Brother Branham is quoting 2 Thessalonians, and in the first seal, Brother Branham quotes the scripture of 2 Thessalonians, and he says, it's not a lie, it's the lie, the same lie that was told to Eve. Now, I'm saying these things for a purpose, because I want you to focus on 2 Thessalonians here. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Deceivers, you see, deceiving the people off into something. See? Only he, God, that letteth, will let until the church, Christ, the bride, be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed at the breaking of the seal. At this time, Paul said, not in my time, but in the time when he'll be revealed, see, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Are going to get that after a while, the spirit of his mouth. And now watch that, what it is. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, that word's parousia. Even him, whose parousia is after the working of Satan. Him, a man, whose working is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, see, and with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness, deceiving the people by unrightwiseness. In them that perish. Not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth. And Christ is the truth and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, it should be translated there, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie, the lie, the same one that was told to Eve. That they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, listen, this is what I want to get to. I pointed out to you a couple weeks ago, Brother Brown said in order to do this, he had to take it from the religious realm into the political realm, and that is what is going on today. So the creed is not a religious creed. It is a political mantra, a political creed. In his sermon, Jezebel Religion, he said, then one day after sin had taken its toll and God brought his people to their knees, Jezebel took everything and she wiped it all up. And she'll do it again. And that's thus saith the Holy Bible, she'll do it again. She's right on the throne now, behind the figurehead, twisting it any way that she wants to, and nobody's going to stop her. That's why I mentioned that, you know, Trump is not going to make America great again. Certainly nobody's going to stop her now, because what they couldn't get in the religious circles, they cut it all into politics, and there they done it. Now, be careful and listen to what he's saying. So where do they do it? He said in politics. Though the Catholic Church is a religious organization, she will bring her power through politics, and then the optics will become clear. That's exactly what they've done. Which the political will be a boycott. And what is a boycott? It's a cancel culture. Just exactly back to the mark of the beast, as sure as I'm standing here. See, and the Bible said it. So how is the mark of the beast coming? Not through religion, through politics. Because she shifted. She changed her mask. And then shall that wicked be revealed, openly manifested, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, of every kind of wicked deception, and is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility is being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved, and because of this, God sends them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they might be judged who did not believe the truth, but took delight in wickedness. Well, what was the lie? Hey, if I inject this into you, you will not die. That's what the serpent told Eve. If I can take my needle and poke you with it, you won't die. You certainly won't die. And she said, well, but God said the moment we do, that moment we die. But that's the lie, all right? Now notice the Weiss translation says this: this deception is geared to the gullibility of those that are perishing, and that this gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not have a love for the truth. So if the deception is geared to the gullibility, then that means that they were made that way. And the deception is made for the people who are gullible. I like this illustration of them that are perishing are geared to the gullibility, which, if you understand what a gear is, it is made in such a way that it fits itself to the gullible delusion. And in the book of Romans, Paul says in chapter 9, verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath that fitted themselves to destruction? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 to 14, them that perish are in the act of perishing. The life is going out like a broken cistern. The Weiss translation says, whose coming and presence is in the sphere of every kind of wicked deception that is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. So, what are they perishing from? Are they perishing because they believe the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Are they perishing because they believe in Jesus only? No! The world is perishing because of COVID. COVID and whatever other germ warfare that they will push down the people's throats like a weaponized Ebola that Zechariah 13:12 speaks of, that will come most likely within the next year or so. Now look, the people have to be perishing, and it is not perishing in the religious sense that they believe the wrong doctrine, and thus something has happened to them that they are dying. They turned down the doctrine of Christ in 56, and they've been living for a generation afterwards, but they're dying now. Why? Because it's all coming to a head. No, that is what people thought for years, brother. But Brother Branham says that they made the bait and switch. They could accomplish this. They couldn't accomplish this in the religious realm, so they switched it to political realm. Open your eyes, people. The Catholic Church, using her religion, will never get the people to believe her lies. So what did she do? She controlled the election, and now as a political head of the United States and the United Nations, she's controlling traffic. Brother Branham warned us that this would take place. He said in Jezebel religion, what they couldn't get in religious circles, they cut it all into politics, and there they done it. And he's talking about the Catholic Church, who used her satellites to take over our government to control the rest of the world. That's exactly what they done, he says, which the political will be a boycott. And what is a boycott? It's cancel culture. Just exactly back to the mark of the beast, as sure as I'm standing here, see, the Bible said it would be. And so the Apostle Paul says, this gullibility caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And so the whole world is taking this bait and switch. It's not even a legitimate vaccine. But it's killing people. And it's maiming people. And you wait until that RNA settles in with their DNA and it brings such convulsions, not only in their body jerking and everything else, but in their mind, producing those prions. It's no different than Jacob's Crutchfield disease, mad cow disease. It's doing the same thing. That's Hebrews 6, 4-8. For it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, that happened when the message came forth, when was that once for all enlightenment at the parousia of Christ? Those who have tasted or experienced the heavenly gift, that heavenly gift is the Holy Ghost Himself, and have been made companions. Well, you know, companion means one who's called alongside. The Holy Ghost Himself being brought alongside and made aware of His presence by tasting the goodness of God's vindicated word and having been exposed to the powers of the coming age, having fallen away and deviated from the truth, it is impossible for them to ever come to the change of the mind again, seeing that they have crucified themselves of ever receiving the Son of God and have subjected Him to public disgrace. Now, isn't it interesting that because in their mind they turn down the Word, God then sends something that will affect their mind? Yeah. They'll never be able to receive the dose of God. Never. Now, catch carefully what Paul says right after this. For the land that drinks in the rain, and never forget Deuteronomy 32:1 tells us the rain is a doctrine, that often falls upon it and produces a crop. What produced the crop? The doctrine that is useful to those who have sown it. And who did the sowing? The Son of Man. It is this land which produces the crop which receives the blessing from God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless to the one who sowed the land and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Notice the one produces a crop because it has life and the other one has no life, therefore cannot produce a crop and must be burnt. The NIV, 1 Timothy 4:1-2 tells us, the Spirit clearly states that at the latter times some will abandon the faith, and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared with the hot iron. Those men are conscious, but without a conscience, they're children of disobedience. Now here's the thing. Brother Brown taught us. He was very specific. The whole world was open to it. And Brother Bram said that, what are germs? They're demons. All right? So what are people doing by opening themselves up to a vaccine that's a demon? I'm not saying all vaccines are demons. I'm just saying this one particular is. It's an mRNA. And it also is using aborted baby parts, depending on how they make it. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, the Amplified Weast, says, and by unlimited seduction to evil, and with all wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are in the act of perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not welcome and accept the truth, but refused to love it, that they might be saved. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. So 1956, this nation and the world rejected God's shout, that He personally came down to declare, and they sealed their own doom. But just think, to those who accepted it, He opened up to us His Word, His seals, and Daniel's visions, and all which are still hid to those who rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Jude 16, the Amplified, tells us, these men revile, in other words, they scoff and they sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. You know, they call it voodoo medicine when you have something that's true medicine. Now notice two things here. They are not acquainted with, therefore they do not understand. So instead of searching to find the truth, they can only do what they are destined to do, and that is to make fun of it and mock it. Notice how they mocked hydroxychloroquine when it's been used for 70 years without side effect in the human population and it's been found to actually cure people of this COVID. And they mocked it, made fun of it, called it drinking bleach and everything else. And then they pushed the vaccine down people's throats. Even they're vaccinating children. And they're not supposed to vaccinate children. Anything that's an EOU is not supposed to be used on children. Now notice two things here. They are not acquainted with, therefore they do not understand. So instead of searching to find the truth, they can only do what they are destined to do, and that is to mock it, make fun of it. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 13, and with all deceivableness of unright wiseness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the Weiss translation puts it this way, every kind of wicked deception that's geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love of the truth to the end that they might be saved, and for this cause, God will send them a deluding influence, resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they might be judged who did not believe the truth, but took delight in wickedness. Now, again, Brother Branham said, it's moved from the religious realm to the political realm. Well, what is the lie? What was the lie that was told to Eve? Thou shalt not surely die. If I take the vaccine, thou shalt not surely die. That's what they're saying. They're pushing a modification of the human race, a transhumanism, and they're saying, thou shalt not surely die. When God forbid hybridizing. Now, what was the deluding influence Satan through the beast told Eve? You won't surely die. Now, that lie has nothing to do with understanding Godhead, has nothing to do with understanding the presence or any other doctrine of God. It had to do with they were commanded not to inject into themselves the serpent seed, the serpent serum, the serpent's vaccine, if you want to look at it that way in 21st century understanding. God said, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. You can take God's word and live. Or listen to the serpent who says, inject this into you and live. God said, by his stripes you are healed. The serpent said, inject this into you and live. They were commanded to stay away from the serpent, not to have sex with him, and thus injecting into the human race a hybridization of life in mankind, and that hybridization would cause death to set in. I hope that you can see the actual the lie. Was not some religious indoctrination. It is the injecting of another form of life into the human race in order to live, taking science over God's word. And the Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, teachings of devils. And we see in 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15, that Satan's own messengers will masquerade as angels of light. Well, what is AstraZeneca? It's star thoughts, okay? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of right wiseness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look at Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fraudy, okay? Dr. Fakey. All right. Notice, but he talks. So he's like this. He's like this. Watered down version of Christianity. Well, Lord bless you, my people. You know, if you just take the vaccine, you'll be okay, and we'll talk sweet, and it'll be just so wonderful. And then you have a man like Trump come along and say, "Well, I use hydroxychloroquine," and of course he uses foul language and everything else. And so, we don't want that. We want the soft Mr. Fauci, that we believe him, that he's a good man, and that he wouldn't deceive. And that's exactly what the serpent did. He seduced the woman, and Fauci has seduced the population. Okay, the Apostle Paul calls them those superfine apostles. More righteous than God is righteous, but false to the bone. And look what they did to the early church. Would to God that you would bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Chaste virgin. In other words, took the whip out. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, seduced Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You know, so a man like Brother Vail comes along to follow up Brother Branham's ministry, and he's crusty. You know, he uses hard language, and the people say, I hate the guy. And so the slicker comes along and, well, now, if you just take the vaccine, you'll be okay. You know, it's not going to kill you. You will not die. That's a lie. People have died. Hundreds of thousands, hundreds and thousands of people have died, some immediately after taking the vaccine, some a week later. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, a heteros gospel, one of a different nature, which is not another, which is not an allos, which is not a different one altogether, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be cursed. And the whole population knows that Fauci spent $3.8 million on producing the COVID vaccine in Wuhan. They transferred it from the Carolinas, where it was in a level 4. They moved it to the Wuhan. That's facts. But he talks so nice. And, you know, when men talk nice, we have a tendency to want to believe them. And you are headed for hell when you do. Mark 7:7-9, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold the traditions of men, as of washing of pots and cups, and many other such things do they. Now, what does washing of cups and pots have anything to do with doctrine? You see? So the delusion is not doctrinal. The delusion is in things that they can do. It's works. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you might keep your own traditions. They reject the word of God in favor of their own teachings, and what does that do? It voids the power of the word in their lives. Thus they crucify the word to themselves. In Hebrews 6:4, notice they didn't crucify God, who is the Spirit, but they can crucify the word to themselves. And that is exactly what they do, making it of no use to them by their own traditions and creeds. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We are to receive His glory in the saints, His glory in the saints, the very mind of God in us. And that brings us to Ephesians 1:17, where He told us by the Apostle Paul that God in the end time brings to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God in order for us to have the true revelation with it an understanding that will not fall for the end time deception where religion and politics have become mixed and offer only death. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened to what His plans are for us. Now, Brother Brown, and the people in this message should know better. Brother Brown said they want to inject me with all these things. He said, but I've been injected with the Holy Ghost. I have the cure. Yeah. People that take the vaccine are saying, I would rather the vaccine than the Holy Ghost. Take your pick. They're believing the lie, the same one that was told to Eve. This power is in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for these words today. I know they're hard, Lord, but yet they're truth. They've changed from religion to politics in order to push it over the people that wouldn't take it if it was religion. And so people open themselves up because it's not religion, it's politics. Oh God, help these people. Just help your people. That's all I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's just take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from everything the devil can put on you. Take the name.